May 14, 2014, it's a Watt from Pedro show.
Had a stone-salt picnic at the park. Nappy head, proud brown people singing in the dark. We had a stone-salt picnic at the park. Barefoot breathing heavily as we run. Barefoot breathing heavily, playing soccer in the sun. We had a stone-salt picnic at the park. Smile, smile, smile on. Beautiful people always smiling, showing their teeth that shine, shine, shine on. The sweat on her brow, falling, kissing the earth that shakes because it feels. in our songs. They sing happiness in our songs that we can feel as we look into each other's eyes. And then we get lost, we disappear like flies, searching for the fruit that I'm so glad we found, rejoicing when we eat it. Yes, we love its lovely sound, taking us off the ground. Volcano explode. Yes, we love its lovely sound. Hummingbird moving fast, sipping nectar from the flower. Love grows by the hour. Yes, we love its lovely sound. We love its lovely sound. Yes, we love its lovely sound. We love its lovely sound.
From the galley with some moisture.
Yeah.
Because we got some. You think it's three numbers here?
Down here.
They said Long Beach set a record yesterday with 100.
Wow.
But on the pleasure point here.
I don't think we got the triple.
What about where Talia is on Black Hill?
Yeah, yeah. She's going to be pushing over there, man.
Kelly up there.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you, brother, man.
Really? Thank you, Matt.
Cool.
Started to show off with Lugundi by John Coltrane. Let me hear it. Something brand new from Chicano Batman.
Yeah.
Stone Soul Picnic. They got a new album out. It's called, it's got a trippy existential rhythms of rhyme or something. Cycles of rhyme. It's got a trippy title.
This weekend, last year I saw them at Joshua Tree, and this weekend is Joshua Tree time again.
But I don't think they're playing because
they're
having babies. Two of them are having babies.
Yeah, that's where they were.
So we're taking a little break. That's why we were trying to have them at Harold's.
Yeah.
But we'll play with them soon. They're going to be back. They got some shit kiped, a bass and a guitar.
Oh, boy.
Donate. Brother Matt, please help me welcome Scott Eicher here.
Yeah.
Hello.
Were you talking with Dave? I see Dave at the fucking park.
I saw Dave down at Scott's, down at Crafted.
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, he comes down and hangs out once in a while.
Well, he also walks his fucking dog by Avril, where I visit the Gauchos. The geese and the gansos.
Yeah, we're down there for the legs.
The heroes and the camos. No, the Avril, the little squad that lives there. Hardly any mallards now.
Oh.
Because they've all, a lot of them taken off to have the babies. And the boys are getting the eclipse plumage, so they're looking like ladies. But of course, the geese can't fly, so they're trapped. Same with the Heroes, the Pekings. They can't fly, so they're stuck.
We're doing our graduation picture there this year instead of the bell.
Is that right?
So that'll be cool.
Okay. They just, you know what they did? They cleaned out, when I was on tour in Europe, they cleaned out, turned off the pumps, cleaned out each pond one at a time. So now you can actually see the bottom. They put new islands of stones, so the turtles and the waterfowl have new little rooster places. The herons, happening, taking care of stuff. I don't know about crawdads. I haven't seen them since they got the clean. Maybe they got cleaned up with. So, you
got
a booth.
I got a booth. Crafted. Got it crafted.
People,
it's called,
what they did was they, you know, since cans have come on and on and on, the warehouses have gone out and out and out. So we tore most of them down. I think we use them to fumigate fruit. There's some tent ones over there, right, on Signal or east of Signal. And use a couple for textile. But most of them got tore down. They kept two of them when they tore down the gas tanks in Crescent and made 26th Street Park. And they turned these things into, like, craft.
Yeah, well, this it's like a crafted shop, but what I'm doing is more of a, you know, just selling my own art. And, you know, I got all kinds of stuff. I don't know. My stuff doesn't really fit it, but they're letting me have a space there, so.
And craft ain't art.
Well, when I was growing up, no.
Scott Eicher is a painter, man, a drawer.
Yeah.
Like my best friend Raymond Pettibone. And one time I asked him about this, craft versus art, and he said there is a difference.
No, there definitely is. My friends and I, we always said, you know, don't let me start crafting anything, and, you know, make sure I'm always doing art. That was what we always said with my friends is, you know, you gotta make it art, you know. But
expression.
Yeah.
Craft is more pragmatic.
Right. Right. Because there's more emotion to art. I mean, craft is your supply and demand is more or less. But art's not really, you know, the thing is, you know, actually why I'm down there selling it now is sort of kind of surreal in a way, but you know, I was influenced by Keith Haring, you know, he had a pop shop, it was called his. So I
know exactly where the pop shop is because Kevin Thurston lived above it, Lafayette and Houston.
Yeah.
New York City. Now, riddle me this. Dave, you know, roaming around Pedro.
Right.
People come up to me, say, you know that Dave, he's kind of crafty. Does that have anything to do with that?
It's all art. It's all art. You
worked with the artist a long time ago at the fucking Jack in the Box at the 160 Gaffey that me and D. Boone worked at.
Nan, right?
Nanny. Yeah. She was an artist. She got an art degree.
Right.
She ended up taking care of animals because of this conflict.
Right. Yeah, because, she's a great person.
Art expression
definition.
Not really called for in the commercial art world. Maybe they're looking more for craftsmen.
I got nothing.
Craftsman, do you remember the Craftsman shot? This is up on Western before the strip mall. So it used to be W.T. Grant Giant or Thrifty or what was it called?
Right.
And it was a Sears catalog, but there was a Craftsman there. If you broke a fucking tool,
you could bring it back.
You could bring it back. Yeah.
It doesn't matter how old.
They got some lame-ass theaters there and
a
bunch of old empty stucco strip mall shit. Yeah, it got all total for
them. Ethnies, green stuff.
Let's go back to the beginning, Scott.
Yeah.
What's your first... Not crafty moment, but your first artistic moment as a young man.
Well, I was painting with my mom and my grandma. They were painters. They're painters too, and it's tough to get my mom to paint nowadays. But I used to paint with her. And
you were a boy. How old?
Five. So you're kidding, yeah. My parents had an insurance agency, and my mom would give me paper, and I'd be bored. And you know, the only thing to do was draw pictures of, you know, at the time I would draw stuff from biker movies and war movies that I watched with my dad, you know, Billy Jack and stuff like that, you know, that kind of stuff. I'd draw,
that One Tin Soldier?
Yeah.
Coven, I think. One of the greatest songs ever.
So, and
did you ever, as a kid, because D. Boone had an interesting theory about potty training. He said artistic people, as kids, would paint the walls, the bulkheads, and with their own turd. Did you do this?
Well, you can get to that point. Yeah, there's definitely some searching that you wind up doing if you do it for any length of time.
Weren't as artistic later in their life. Didn't do any of that. Kept it all tight, packed in.
I try to keep things loose. You know, I try not to get too tight. You know.
So you're 5 years old. You're doing drawings of war movies. Your pop is watching.
And Gumby too, you know, Art Clokey and Gumby, you know,
and the same thing but way different.
Yeah, when I really decided what I wanted to do was when you know I had my Gumby figure and my, you know, watched it on TV and stuff, and the music and the stuff to me was so much a part of the cartoon, and it's a shame now that they wrecked it and they never put out. The original cartoons are messed up if you go to look for them. I don't recommend it because you can't get the same vibe because they've messed up all the music.
Yeah, I got some of those old Gumby videos.
Yeah.
And he's just in the toy store.
Yeah.
He doesn't really have a fake world. It's a toy store.
Yeah. Yeah.
Look, speaking of music, let's play some.
Oh, it's a tune called Sweet Nothing.
Baby, to have, but the things I had. There's little to bear, but the things I bore. There's nothing to carry and not to add, and glory to heaven I paid the score. There's little to do, but I did before. There's little to learn, but the things I know. And this is the sum of a lasting lore. Scratch a lover and find a foe. And couldn't it be I was young and mad? If ever my heart on my sleeve I many to claw at a heart unclad, and little the wonder it ripped and tore. There's one that'll join in their push and roar, with stories to jabber and stones to throw. You a lesson that costs you sore. Scratch a lover and find a foe. So little I'll offer to you, my lad. It's little in loving I set my store. There's many a maid would be flushed and glad, and better you'll knock at a kindlier door. I'll dig at my lettuce and sweep my floor. Forever, forever, I'm done with woe. I'll whistle about my chore. Scratch a lover and find a foe. La 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 la. La 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 la. Beggar or prince, no more, no more. Be off and away with your strut and show. The sweeter the apple, the blacker the core. Scratch a lover.
What were you doing by the window? Housekeeping desk.
Think about it. I have a master key. Forget about it. Nobody's watching me. He made a big stain, but it wasn't Chianti. Closed my eyes, I took your weed.
Housekeeping.
It's $1 million in a bag. Yeah. Ask my God, take your note. That's the biggest tip in the world. Where the richest made in the world. Send the money to my hometown.
What?
Build a house and buy a car and a couch. We are rich. Ask my God. Take me to
Watford Pedro Show. Started off with Sweet Nothing, something live from Sonic Rendezvous band. That's Scotty Sound on the drums there, and Fred Sonic Smith. They hardly recorded. Fred didn't really want to go in the studio anymore, but that's something live. Great band. No Prior Convictions by Hungry Ghosts after that. Stars Feet on Fire. Ecole du Ciel. Ballad of a Great Weariness by Miriam Gendron. Congrats, because new baby. Chapeau in Montreal there. Chibomato with Housekeeping, new album, and they're on tour in Latin America. I think they're in Brazil now. Tambourine, Hooray Matinee. That's Petra's new band, Proj. She's in New York City doing a duet thing with Nels. Three Thirds with Rangers Command. Three Thirds was our guest last week.
Cool.
Hey, Heather. Her new band with CalArts people. CalArts.
Yeah, yeah.
Speaking of which, we'll get into that. No Rules. G.G. Allen, the Jabbers. I think he was New Hampshire. And then finally, The Hive by Melt Banana. I think they're just finishing tour in Europe. They were just starting there when we were winding up. Back with our guest Scott Anker about him getting started with art. So your ma gets you into it,
mm-hmm.
but then you have these inspirations like Art Clokey. And,
yeah.
And off air, you were mentioning Mr. Gary Panner.
Yeah, yeah. I got a chance. Yeah, I got a chance to meet him at a comic convention, you know, and I guess
you remember the old Slash magazines.
Yeah, my uncle Don had all that stuff. He had a huge collection of punk 45s and stuff, and when I saw that stuff, you know, tucked in with all the other stuff, you know, we'd go through and we would he would you know, kind of every time I would say, you know, hey, I want to listen to some punk rock.
Yeah.
He'd throw on a blues record, and every time I wanted to listen to a blues record, he'd throw on a jazz record. So,
yeah.
So he was like expanding my mind and opening it up when I was really young. So,
yeah.
So I guess one of the things that stuck with me big time was the Gary Panter thing. And before he was Pee Wee's Playhouse and all that stuff, it was
Slash, this thing called Jimbo.
Yeah, yeah, and
he goes back.
Yeah,
kind of far. He does music too.
Yeah, I got a chance to meet him at a Comic-Con. And I said, you know, I'm a big fan. He goes, and I gave him one of my comic books, and he said, oh, I know who you are. I said, what? And he goes, yeah. He goes, I know guys that know who you are. I've seen your work before. So he's a very cool guy, you know.
He's very humble too.
Very humble, and definitely had a small conversation and you know, a real conversation with him, and realized that he's on, you know, a lot of us artists. You know, we like you were saying, being sensitive people. You know, I'm a sensitive guy. You know, I'm very, very sensitive. But you know, my parents taught me how to you know, get through things. You know, and I come from a sensitive family, you know, of people too. And being artists, guys, you know, I mean, it just goes with it. It's just part of, you know, you're an artist yourself. You know, you do photography and music and your own thing. You know,
yeah.
I mean.
So you would say there's like kind of a connection?
Definitely.
Were you faced with the choice of doing another kind of expression? It had to be painted.
No. My parents,
You weren't torn.
No. I know from that day one when I started drawing, and when I did that stuff. I mean, everyone else, all the other kids were out riding bikes most of the time, and I would do that too. Now I got out there because you can't forget, you know. Art can be isolating, you know. You can isolate yourself and get overwhelmed with it, and it'll overtake you. You need to get out, and you know, on days like this where there's a beautiful breeze, you know, you got to get out and walk around the block once in a while and ride your bike and paddling, you know. So
you know, T-Bone was a painter.
I do. I definitely know.
Brother Matt Scott's.
Yeah, bust him out for checking him out.
Yeah,
Project Merch cover over there?
I'm stoked to see that. I'm just being in the same room with that is way cool. Is a really cool thing to see right now, mm-hmm. And I dig that he has his palette on the side of it, where he was mixing his paint on the side of it, and he left it there, and it's still there. That's cool.
I think he figured the album was only going to be the square.
But that's cool. That's That's amazing. That whole, that, I mean, really, to me.
Yeah,
I mean,
what he means, people, listeners, is, you know, the colors usually don't come out of the tube the way you want them. So you have to make blends. So what you do is you make these little puddles of the blends.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's what's called a palette.
Yeah. And
most people, it's another board that you hold in your hand while you're doing this, where D. Boone used the side of the fucking picture as his place to mix his colors.
Well, a lot of people, I've had people, I had Craig Ibarra came into my house one time. I had this painting hanging up I did of a red car. And he goes, that looks like a D. Boone painting, because I was doing impressionistic style on it. And I did an impressionistic style of a red car. I didn't even know they're red cars, because the photo I had was black and white.
Yeah.
And I just seen them around
that
town.
Was green cars too and stuff.
Yeah, but I thought they were cool, and I did this huge painting when we first moved to our house. And Craig said, "That looks like one of D. Boone's paintings." And I was
"You mean you saw one of the red? Because we got one of the only originals left."
Yeah. Well, I got the picture from.
I got two reproductions, but one of them actually is a real one.
Well,
they
I got
go from the cruise ship down to here to
right
like where you're crafting.
Right. Well, I got the picture from the place that burned down. The
Elks
Club. Used to have a whole bunch of.
Oh, Matty DeMancic had all the pictures.
Right. Right. That's.
Yeah.
I went there because I was looking up, you know, pictures of Pedro to paint, and I thought it would be cool to do some Pedro related stuff. And the breakfast place we went to had pictures on the wall of.
Railroad was heavy in Pedro.
Yeah.
If you go back, people don't know now. You know, they see the little Shirley pathetic. track and but they ran the town. In fact, a guy who worked for them, George H. Peck,
mm-hmm.
ended up buying property, kind of by annexing us to the city of L.A., got us free of the railroads. There's a whole political thing that got all forgotten about that.
Yeah.
And so when they were talking about the, you know, secession and all this, they don't really understand why we came in to be part of the city, because we were a railroad town. They ran us, and it was not to the benefit of the citizens.
Well, it's
this man, actually, we got to connect with Manhattan Beach because of him. He built the only black beach in SoCal, Bruce's Beach.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, there's some connects. I didn't know this until, because Tom Watson's Manhattan Beach. And you know how different it is in a way. But we do have some linkage because of George H. Peck.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we're going way back. And this ain't a guy who is born with money. This is a railroad man, a working man. Invested in and helped.
Well,
I what it is.
I grew up around Redondo Beach and Manhattan Beach in that area.
Oh, so you know. The railroad used to go through Manhattan Beach where there used to be a pottery, some ceramic pad.
Mm-hmm, there was.
Watson told me about it.
Yeah.
In fact, it kind of poisoned the land around there where they used the chemicals for the glazes and stuff. Oh, so you're not native to Pedro.
No, I grew up when I was a kid around Redondo Beach is where
when
I grew up.
Did you come here?
I came here, my dad and my uncle used to take me fishing, and my dad would always stop at the bait shop that's still there.
Yeah.
And I always loved the town, and I always said, you know, if things get lame in Redondo, which they did, you know, they bought it up and put in a bunch of strip malls and wrecked my town. And I said, you know, what, I gotta find something cool, and, you know, I kind of worked my way over this way because I worked at Peanut Records, you remember, in Ramita, and used to come in and talk to Steve, the owner.
PCH.
He passed away a couple years back.
Is that right?
Yeah, yeah. And
there's an Indian Chow pad by there I got to try that just opened up.
Yeah.
We got no Indian Chow in
PA. Yeah. You know, I don't know about Indian Chow, but I have been trying that Thai place on 6th Street. It's awesome. Oh.
Really good.
Yeah, I love it.
Excellent. First and Gaffey's happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, 25th Street's good.
Okay, we're at the end of the first hour. Sorry to get the chill, but it is kind of an art thing.
Yeah, yeah.
May 14th, 2014. Hold tight for hour two. May 14th, 2014, second hour of the Watt from Pedro show. Thank you. for Pedro show. Start off the second hour with Total Machine, something live from Mark Ducret. Probably French is Ducret. Sorry, Mark. Then we had Clara Rockmore with Humoresque. Movement Electric et Pathétique by Lydia Cavino. Both those ladies, incredible theremin. Artists.
Yeah.
Know about this?
Yeah, the Ed Wood.
Ruski guy invented.
Ed Wood
used a lot of his movies. Used a lot of science fiction. One, you don't actually touch these things. It's the capacitance of your hand. You get close on them. One does volume and one does pitch.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Mr. Theremin himself was really good at it, but he had some protégés. He taught these ladies. And they're incredible.
That cool instrument.
Then we had Talia with Solo Musica doing Bert Mundy's.
Cool.
Aaron Oppenheim with Ninth. And finally, Apisani 12, Milovia, Micha Markovic Jazz Band. That's some TV music from the former Hugo thing in the 70s. Remember this kind of music on the, who just passed away? Streets of San Francisco. I'm from Zimbalist.
Oh, yeah.
Remember this kind of music with the tenors?
Oh, yeah.
And the alto saxes, Tom Scott.
Oh, yeah.
That real David Sanborn got into it, real kind of thing. And Beretta, you know these
Beretta,
these,
yeah. You know these definitely.
This music, this theme music. Well, they had their own version of it. So it's funny how things trip me that way. We left off at you being inspired by other artists.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well.
There's kind of a gap, though. You get started with your parents, and then you're meeting these guys. What was in between? Were you schooled?
No, not technically no, but yeah. I mean,
did
you take
art classes at the high school?
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah, yeah. Any chance I could take a class, I'd take a class, and I definitely.
Was it Redondo High?
Yeah, Redondo High, a little bit at Harbor College, a little bit at El Camino for a while.
Course at Harvard.
Yeah. Yeah,
El
Camino for a bit, and a little bit at Art Center, a couple classes at Art Center, and that's kind of where I got into the Keith Haring thing a little bit, inspiring my stuff, is that there was a big mural there that I used to, you know, take breaks from class and in the stairwell.
It?
Yeah, huge mural, and it's probably still there at Art Center. You could just go see. It's huge, massive, and it's in the back. That's what I liked about it. It's like, you know, tucked in the back. You know, where you can't see it, he did this huge stairwell thing.
Do you think Keith Haring wanted his art to be seen, or did he want it tucked away?
I think I would have to know him, you know, to know what his intentions were. I mean, I think every artist wants to be seen. They want their stuff to be seen, but you know, there's other dudes like Raymond, who's I mean, he mixes it up all the time. Just when you think you got Raymond figured out, it's like he'll throw a curve in there and you'll go, what's that mean? You know, and that's sometimes it's like the thing that drives me the most too is not knowing. You know, the unknown. You know,
So this is the context what I'm talking about. I mean, Keith Haring at a school,
mm-hmm.
or you're working a gallery,
mm-hmm.
versus something out there like, for example, a guy like Banksy.
Yeah. I dig Banksy stuff. I like so much art. I mean, to me, it's like art, like those dudes are my heroes. And to get to meet a few of these guys now and then is cool. And I did the fine art thing a little bit in the custom culture world for a while. And I really found out that like I like it still. I mean, Ed Roth, I got to work for him for a little bit and real briefly and got to meet him. And he sort of told me like, gave me some pointers on like how to get through things and how to make it your own thing. But like he said,
this guy who painted cars,
right?
Race cars, people.
Rat Fink and everything. Yeah.
Robert Williams though comes out of his.
Yeah, and that's where I started painting. Is I said I saw his book and I said like a million other dudes and said I'm gonna do that. Yeah, definitely.
And I think from Albuquerque originally.
Yeah,
I've had to meet him a few times.
I met him quite a few times because in the early. early part of custom culture, there wasn't a lot of people that were, like, even aware of it. Because, you know, you got that stuff through record shops, you know, the Zap comics and Weirdo and stuff. And I got it from my uncle early on. I was reading those comics. And my
Zap
uncle,
comics?
Yeah. Definitely.
Charlie Plymell.
Yeah.
Printed the first Zap comic.
Yeah. Well,
a friend of mine who lives up in Cherry Valley, he was living in San Francisco at the time with Mr. Ginsburg. And,
yeah. Well,
who was the driver? Neil Castle.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he printed up the first Zap comics. Yeah, and S. Clay Moore.
S. Clay Wilson.
S. Clay Wilson, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
S. Clay Wilson and R. Crumb.
Well,
first guys in those things.
That's the comparison I always get to Crumb. Everyone compares me to him, but kind of what I'm doing is sort of different. But my uncle just used to give me those comics when I was young.
Furry Freak Brothers.
Sure, sure. And my uncle would give them to me, and they're like, you know, don't tell your parents, you know, and because, you know, I was a little kid then, and they're like, and I'd take this stuff to school, and luckily I had an art teacher that said, you know, you guys be cool over there with this stuff, and if someone catches me, you know, you guys with that stuff in the corner over there, I have to confiscate
jokes,
it.
A lot of big ass with Crumb.
Yeah.
S. Clay Wilson, a lot of big dicks and shit.
Yeah.
Piss Gums the Pirate.
Yeah, yeah. There was that. There was
Checkered Demon.
Checkered Demon was a great one. Yeah.
He's been there lately, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Up in the city.
Well.
But these guys were, you know, I saw this. There was a guy. Just passed away. His name is Ray Bernard. He lived on Battery Street,
mm-hmm.
which was the street D. Boone lived on in Park Western. I think it's called Via Francesca now because they made a track home there called Tarragona.
Mm-hmm.
They tore down all that shit. It's just east of Park Western. I think it's a magnet school.
Mm-hmm.
And the States, the newer cracker boxes, that's where I went after Navy House, and that's how I was able to meet D. Boone. But Ray Bernard lived down the street. And he was hip to all kinds of shit. He turned me on to, you know, Black Sabbath, Cloister Cult, and those magazines. Mr. Natural.
Yeah, well, my uncle turned me on to all this stuff, and he.
How old is he?
My uncle is probably about your age,
okay.
and a little older maybe, but you probably hung out with him. He did Backdoor Man magazine. I told you.
Whoa.
With my aunt, he and my aunt did Backdoor Man magazine back in.
Oh, okay.
You know, you've known.
So I know Dee Dee, who was married to Nell.
Right, right.
We had on the Don Waller was on the show.
Right.
Yeah, I've talked with Don a few times.
Imperial Dogs.
Yeah.
Band.
Yeah,
and had him on the show here.
So I mean, my uncle hit me to all that stuff too. You know,
Man was fanzine people, SoCal music scene even before the whiskey. It was more about the star. What's it called? Stardust?
Starwood?
Starwood.
Starwood.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't remember. That's my first paid gig in Starwood. Wow. 35th gig, Minuteman.
That's where it drove up from Pedro came from, right?
And that was actually Hong Kong Cafe with Joe Baez.
Yeah.
But Starwood was, there was a scene there before actually the whiskey and Roxy. In fact, even before the mask, because Ronnie had a band there after the Stooges. And there was a band called The Dogs. We're still playing around, I think. But the kind of rock and roll, that wasn't arena rock, and these people were into this stuff.
Yeah, I found an interview cassette my uncle interviewing half of the MC5 and half of the Stooges back in 74
for a band called New Order. Well, I know Dennis Wilson was the drummer man for Ronnie's band New Order.
Mm-hmm. It was New Order was the band.
Okay.
Yeah, and they're It's this whole cassette of one day I want to put it out, and it's a cassette of him interviewing them, just talking about, you know.
So it's Ron Askren.
Oh yeah, yeah, and they're talking about their, you know, where we went wrong with the MC5 and what we're going to fix and stuff, and you know, so.
Wow.
So yeah, it's a pretty trippy thing, you know, and my uncle was a very cool dude. He was.
So you had a lot of influences.
Oh yeah, well, I mean Redondo. People didn't know about Stooges and stuff, and I knew about New York Dolls and MC5 and Stooges and stuff, and I was a Kiss fan, you know, growing up. I was, you know, my uncle says, yeah, those guys, you know, it's like, that's cartoon stuff.
They actually opened up for the Stooges at Blue Oyster Cult.
Yeah, they did. So
New Year's show, they told me about it, it was kind of, somebody, James Williamson said this is a true, but some, and I don't have the nerve to ask Abe, but yeah, Gene Simmons asked Abe to be the singer Kiss. I mean, I've never asked that. I don't have the balls. They had just changed their name from Wicked Lester.
So. Yeah, I got some Wicked Lester
stuff. But I saw Kiss a couple, maybe four or five times before they had an album. Wow, almost like the Ghost Fish.
Going back to rock and roll history, I mean, my uncle thought I was cool because I had that Sweet Desolation Boulevard record.
Yeah.
And every kid on our block, we all had that record. So, and we were looking for, that's how I got to punk rock, is that I wanted something more. You know, I wanted the most, you know, and Zeppelin and stuff like that was cool, but it wasn't cut. You know, I needed
Sweet.
It was like Ballroom Blitz. Yeah,
they had a song before that, I think Little Willie.
Yeah, but they were sort of like a joke band, and you know what I mean? The whole
Part of glam.
Yeah, but you know, it's just
part of glam. But glam never really went over in the U.S. except with David Bowie, and then later on Roxy Music.
But that,
you know, we're at the time of the show, but Brother Matt is going to bring us the spin cycle. You want to pick it up after he spins our cycle some? Is that okay, Brother Scott?
Yeah.
Okay, Brother Matt.
Very cool.
Chupin.
meantime, for your edition of the Spin Cycle that you're on Watford Pedro Show, and I'm curious, what was your impetus and what was your motivation, inspiration for getting this tunage rolling?
Keep it cool.
Well, did anything from last week at the fucking desert bear anything?
Well, this week is going to be the Joshua Tree, so I'll probably get some.
Oh, you ain't done it yet?
Yeah, that's coming this weekend.
Because you're so intense about the heat that you want to go spend some time at the desert, right? While leave the beach.
Yeah.
Going straight to the frying pan.
Yeah, the CD burner's not working either, so that's putting a little extra.
We got a damper in the pamper?
Yeah.
It worked. We're at the end of the second hour. May 14th edition, Waffle Peter Show, day before I have to leave to Houston, which should be very cool and breezy. Yeah. We got some School of Rock girls camp.
Cool.
And some high school and some dosage to do. So hold tight for hour three. May 14th, 2014's third hour of the Waffle Peter Show. Watch for Pedro show started the third hour off. Something brand new from now. London Man. A tune called Big Flat. And that was big. Back with Painter Man Scott Eichen.
Yep.
And your invitee, Dave.
Is Dave.
What's Dave? He keeps you company at the...
yeah, you know, a lot of people crafted. Come... Yeah, my crafted spot, it's, you know, Eicher's Pop Custom Shop. It's, you know, you can come down and talk to me. I'm there Friday through... I'm giving myself a plug, but Friday through Sunday, 11 to 6 p.m., you can talk to me down there. Sometimes I paint down in my booth and
play guitars. Crafted is these warehouses. What you got to do, people, is get on the Harbor Freeway. If you're in SoCal, it's the I-110. And it ends in Pedro, and then you take that down Harbor Boulevard, and it'll take you to these warehouses called Craft. It's got a big B.
Yeah, 22nd Street.
For the Harbor Boulevard.
Across from 22nd Street Landing Restaurant. In the,
well, kind
the,
of.
The, you know, my dad's
the
got...
The park in between there.
Yeah. Well, my dad's got a boat over there, too.
In the marina. Yeah. That marina used to be the lower reservation of Fort MacArthur.
The Bergamot Station people kind of helped to make that
happen. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, and I've been talking with...
that got dismantled to make the
new
train.
Yeah.
I got a chance to talk to the guy that's putting in the brewery next to there. The next warehouse over, they're putting in a big brewery, and I talked to him. He's Brian. He's a Pedro guy. He's born and raised here, very cool dude.
Yeah.
Very cool dude. I like, and he showed me, the floor plan and what they're putting in. It's going to be a family place to
drink beers.
Yeah,
well, it's not necessarily going to be it's going to be more of a, there's going to be a food market.
Yeah. Brewery West. But that's going to be a cool, feature down there with the restaurant and,
Bringing
some other stuff in the other warehouse to kind of enhance that whole crafted deal that's going on now.
Yeah, definitely.
I have to admit, I've never been there.
Well, I
got to come visit you, and I live here.
I hope so. Yeah. Raul comes by all the time. He's there almost.
Okay, so
almost every
weekend. I don't have to go. He goes
for me. No,
he had the election there Saturday, so I won another term on the Coastal San Pedro Neighborhood Council.
Yeah, but they didn't put you on the website.
I don't know.
Some clowns talked about the election and who's not going to be there next year, and who's the new guy.
There was a big campaign trying to get some people off, so I was honored to have a campaign going against me.
Yeah, but you survived here, right?
Yeah.
I think one of the president or vice president got scissored.
There's the old regime and the new input, and I was part of the new bunch.
Yeah.
And so we knocked off another part of the old crew.
And that was the vice president guy.
Yeah, okay. The vice president
will not be returning, is what
right.
they said. It's funny. There's some website that deals with Pedro stuff. You know about this? Beacon or something.
Oh, the Beacon, yeah. Oh, so it's a story on there?
It's usually like 10 years old news. I think they're just getting into the guy raping the dog. Then. They beat that fucker to death.
The what?
This guy, he had mental problems, and he was, he wasn't all together, okay? Like,
put Pedro on the map in a whole new way.
And, he was raping the dog.
Oh, man.
But, like I said, he wasn't all that together, so it's not as, evil. The guy didn't have his Marvel skill.
Yeah.
But anyway, some people milked it for what they did. Yeah. They go, I can't believe this is going on. It did go on. So, by you being with the crafted thing, do you think you've compromised your vision towards being an artistic expression?
Well, my friend had a gallery called Gasoline Gallery, and I showed there for about 10 years or so. We had a really good run.
Yeah.
And actually, he turns out to be a guy I didn't know. I went to go to an art show there for one of my friends, and it turns out to be a guy I went to Redondo High with. And, and I was like, I hadn't seen him in all these years, and he was a punk guy. And, he was doing the fine art thing, and we were doing the custom culture thing. And, he did his best to promote me, but I guess what I do didn't really fit in completely with the custom culture world, because you come down and see
the custom culture world.
It's kind of the Ed Roth, Rat Fink thing, Robert Williams stuff, and my stuff. I dig the car world, and I dig the whole thing, but my stuff is kind of a combination of like surf culture and just being grown up here in California. And definitely, you know, my roots are, you know, in punk rock. I'm saying you know a lot, too, and my wife's going to be really pissed at me because she told me specifically don't say you know all the time. So she's a teacher, a school teacher, so I'd say hi to her and I get in trouble later. But
it's all right if you say you know. Mm-hmm. It's not your fault. It's been, like, beaten into your head. Yeah. But curious about, yeah, is there a place for you? Is that what it's about?
Yeah.
Is it about branding? Is it about what we have in our music racket? Genre?
Well, you know, I can say as far as what I do, so much of it comes from this town, you know. So, I mean, I've been here most of my life now, and you know, it's like from my friends around town, I mean, I'm sort of representing those guys, you know, and what they're trying to achieve at Crafted is more of a, you know, like you were saying, Bergamot Station, more of a high end thing, and I think it's beneficial to me, and I've talked to them about having gigs down there, you know, and set a bunch of bands up in the parking lot, and
is that right?
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
Do you listen to music when you're doing art?
Well, they play music down there, but
you're doing art.
Yeah, yeah, okay. all the time.
Okay,
the time.
Let's listen to some.
Joyride.
Bob from Pedro Show Last Music for today's edition. Some big blues from Pemberton up in Canada, King's Lord Town Blues Hall. Great place for the blues. And Rewild with Stars, an Italian band that's trying to make it in London. And some Scots guys who were just touring called Pause with Tongues. I heard they played in the city in the... Who's that Smith guy? He said, they're too loud. They got to stop playing when I play. They're both sharing the planetarium or something. Hmm. They're by the Presidium. Tobacco, Mr. Tom, he's on tour right now. The Touch from Within. And then Neon and Pills, name the band. They're a Brazilian cats that want to move here and try their luck at music in SoCal. And finally, some Belgian guys called Billions of Comrades with Panda. What would be your advice to somebody who's in the arts?
Well, I talk to a lot of people, and a lot of people tell me, oh, I can't do it. You know, anyone could do art. It doesn't. You know, my heroes are the guys that aren't the obvious ones. You know, most of the time.
So, what's your advice? Don't be obvious.
Just do your my advice, because when I talk to Victor Gaslam, you know, you've had him on the show. And I asked him, I said, when I was going into painting, I said, what am I going to paint? What do I do? He just said, do what you know. He said, just don't try and do something that you don't know. He said, just do what you know. Do what's in you. And my wife's advice to me all the time is don't censor yourself, you know, because those are the two things to remember.
No filter. Where can people see you on the web?
ScottAicher.com, which is
Let's spell it.
ScottAicher.com and popcustomshop@gmail.com is another one, is one of my emails. And that'll also, the popcustomshop.com will also get you to my website too. So
and one of your big interests is Pedro, right?
Absolutely.
So people, you want to see Tell Me and Brother Matt, Dave, Brother Scott, share through the eyes of Brother Scott. Check out ScottAicher.com.
Please do. Please do.
Okay.
All
right.
Thank you. I'm very much.
I think everybody in the town is really an ambassador, especially an artist.
Very, very much so. And they like it. You know, they like the town down there. You know, they're learning about the town as much as I'm learning about the. And it's like, well, it's just we all learn from the town. You know, I mean, it's a growing thing. And that's another thing I'd say to anyone that wants to do art: always keep your mind open, because
stay a student.
Stay a student always.
Everybody's
always
got something to
always
teach us.
Always lessons to be learned every day.
Even an old timer.
Every day.
Scott Acker, I want to thank you so much for coming aboard, Dave.
Thank you.
And thank you for being. We're here with him now. Thank you for being with him there at the
Thank you. Yeah, it's an honor.
And good luck later on at the.
Red Man's Lodge.
Yeah, thanks for
that. Brother Matt, thank you so much for your always aiding and abetting. I got to go to Houston, but I'll be back Sunday. And then next Wednesday, we got Scott Sweezy coming over. Stuart Sweezy. This is a man who put on a gig with the Minutemen in the Mojave Desert in 1983.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You can see pictures of it in the middle of Double Nickels on the Dime.
Yeah, yeah.
In front of school buses. Once again, you guys are beautiful.
Love you guys.
Yeah.
Love you guys. Thank you
Long
so much.
San Pedro.
Yeah, buddy. It's been May 14th. 2014 edition, May 14th. Wow, both numbers, huh? Keep your powder dry. Yeah.